You have your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 is where I want to take my text from this morning, and I've got a few other scriptures that I want to share with you and relate to you what I believe that God has laid upon my heart today. And I believe that we're going to be blessed in the name of Jesus, and we're going to see a move of God like we've never seen before. I believe people's getting excited to see God do something extraordinary and extra special. Amen. With the song we sung a while ago, we talked about desperation. Are you really desperate to see God move? Are you desperate to see God move in your life? Huh? How many's desperate to see God move in your life? I'm telling you, we're there, church. We're there. If I put it in this perspective, we all get excited when we're getting ready to go on vacation, and in that last week, we cram everything into it, try to get everything together, everything packed. I believe with all my heart we're in the last week of getting ready to get out of here. You can judge if you want to, but in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, let you stand one more time. In reverence to God's Word, that's why we stand in reverence to His Word. Paul said to the church at Galatia, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Listen, another translation puts it like this. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Who has cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Heavenly Father, take your word, Lord, and plant it deep within our hearts today. Let us see and sense and feel the coming of you, Lord, that's so soon. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I understand and know that we have heard this preached most of our lives, but I can tell you for sure that we have never been any closer than what we are today. There are things that are happening and transpiring that we have never seen in our lifetime, and I preached to you a couple of weeks ago about the theme of we've never seen anything like this before. How many can still agree with that? I ain't never seen anything like this before. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, it said, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually." Verse 6. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart." King James, okay? "And it grieved him." He repented. If what he saw then and what he sees now, how is his heart aching today? "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and it repented him that he had made man." How blessed and how fortunate we are to still be breathing God's air today because of the sin that is in the world. We are fortunate and blessed, and by the mercy of God, we're still breathing God's air. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The title of my message today is "Run to the Altar or Run for Your Life." Run to the altar or run for your life. I just read to you Genesis chapter 6. Now I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 24. "But as it was in the days of Noah," and I just read to you what it was like in the days of Noah, "so shall it also the coming of the Son of Man." It's going to be just like that. "For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Quick powerful, suddenly, unless that Spirit of Jesus Christ that raised Him from the dead dwells inside of you. Now, the plot, if you please, of the message that I bring to you today is not really political. Though it may have some political suggestions in it, bear with me, because it's not really a political message, it's a spiritual message. Okay? Lined up and backed up by the Word of God. That being said, church, I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are, it's time that we get ready to run. And it's not time to run in retreat, but it's a time to run to the altar where our refuge, our strength, and our source is today. With all the craziness and perverted ideology that we're seeing in our world today, one better realize it's time to run. It's time to run to the altar or run for your life. There will be maybe some funny stuff. And I don't have any reference to anyone in the building today. There may be some funny stuff that I bring to you for the next few minutes. But it's only to help you realize the urgency and the seriousness of the situation. If that was you, this situation would be serious. Huh? Don't tell me you're going to turn around petty. Okay? This situation would be serious. And can I tell you today, with everything that's within me, this is the situation we're in. And I'm going to explain to you some things. I come to you today with all the urgency and seriousness that I know how to explain to you in our situation. Understanding that the persecution around the world is really not uncommon in many areas of the globe. We have been blessed in America for all these many years, but the Word says that in the last days, persecution will expand and will get worse. Paul said this in Timothy, 2 Timothy, addressing him in chapter number 3, I know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he said, from such, turn away. It's time that we get serious. It's time that we realize that this is not a time to play games. It's not a time to piddle around or fiddle around. It's time that we get serious with God, church. Again, let me emphasize to you, it doesn't matter the age, whether it's teenagers, whether it's juniors, seniors, whether it's seniors or not, it's time that we get serious with God. And I cannot express even more so, for of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captivity, silly women laden with sins, laid away with the divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Our knowledge or our increasing of wisdom and learning in our world today is absolutely phenomenal. Used to, you had a computer that could do anything, would fill half of this sanctuary. Now they can put a computer chip on the end of a pencil eraser and can have and store more knowledge than you could even imagine. But we have not coming to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. If anything, we're running for our life farther away. And we're not running to the altar. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be running to the altar, seeking God. The Old Testament said that there was a time that they ran and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. And they did not turn loose until God heard them and answered prayer. Church, in days gone by, Christians were literally fed to the lions and bears. Their heads were severed from their bodies. Families seeing their loved ones killed for their faith right in front of them because they would not bend or bow. They would not deny their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we want to believe it or not, church, Christians are being tortured and killed for their faith even today, especially in third world countries. I read an article the other day in communist China. The church of Jesus Christ, the real church of Jesus Christ, is growing in leaps and bounds. And one of the fastest growing groups of Christianity is Muslims that's coming to Christ. Where in the world are we at? We sat humdrum, idle by, shrugging our shoulders, when it is absolutely chaos all around us. I challenge you again, it's time that we run to the altar or we run for our life. Listen to me, church. Persecution of people being beheaded or fed to the lions or the bears did not start just automatically being fed to the animals. It was what we might call light persecution. Anybody with me today? Thank you for listening, because this is one of the most serious messages I've ever preached in my life. But I'm here to tell you, it's not a message of a downer. It's a message to lift you up and let you know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. It started as light persecution. Let me explain. By taking away your religious freedoms. You can't go to church. And if you do go to church, you can't sing. Taking away your free speech. Some of the most prominent spiritual Christian men, because of their moral stance and patriotism, has been excluded from social media. Can I just put in a plug here? I don't know if any of you, this is probably a very spiritual thing to some of you. Mike Lindell, MyPillow, has been ostracized, has been cut off, has been totally, totally discommunicated. The man is a godly man and has a business that he's trying to promote Christianity in every way. If at all possible, if you need pillows, sheets, whatever, go online and support that man. I was absolutely blessed beyond measure. We've been needing a couple pillows for a while. Every time I go to bed, Diane gets my pillow, so I got to order some new ones anyway. So I went online, Michael Dell's website, and I ordered a couple of pillows. And a couple of days later, I got a message from him that said, "We are so far behind and inundated, it'll be a couple of weeks before you get your pillows." I said, "Praise God." It's time America stood up, and that's how we do it. We wonder, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to stand up? Promote and support people that are on the front lines. On the front lines. You say, "Pastor, you're getting way out of line." Well, bear with me. I'll get back, okay? It's time. It's time that we run to the altar. It's time that we support those things. The reason prayer's no longer in the schools is because we've sat on the sidelines and said, "Let it happen." Our freedom of worship, our freedom of speech, our right to bear arms. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Young people, your constitution is being stripped away from your hands, and we no longer live in a free country. I just made myself a copy of the Constitution of the United States just so I could have it next to me. I don't know about you, but I believe in America. Amen. Because I believe that God blessed America. Amen. We see in our society where killing babies have become an absolute norm. Pushing and promoting homosexual agendas has become a way of life, and if you don't agree with that, then you are a hate monger. I'm here to tell you they have a soul, but their sin will doom them to hell. We are living in a society that is so absolutely absurd that now they are refusing to acknowledge the two different genders that our God has created. They brag. Hang on, okay? That they brag because we have the first black female vice president. That's fine. But in their own words, they can't say she's female because they say there's no gender difference. Ain't we come a long way, baby? Church, it's time we run to the altar. I'm trying to tell you, and probably some of you are gritting your teeth, my message is not political. My message is explaining to you that what Paul told Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come, and we are seeing them. We are seeing them. So therefore, it is time with everything that is within us that we need to run to the altar. So can I ask you today, are we going to surrender to the left and run for our lives? Or are we going to stand up and be like Patrick Henry and give our voice to those around about us saying, give me liberty or give me death? Or go a next step farther, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It's amazing when you preach some kind of controversial, you can feel it. If you all notice those things on the back wall, we're getting ready to put them in different places strategically, is because it helps absorb the sound and you don't have the reflection and the echo. And that's kind of, I need them when I preach. Because there's times I say things and I wish I had some absorbent there. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What we as Christians have forgotten is because we have been desensitized to the world and we think that our lives here have a permanent outcome. But we need to get a brand new vision, church. This life here is temporary. The Word tells us that it is like a vapor. It appeareth for a while and soon it is gone. But can I tell you, no matter how things turn out in our society, in our world, in our government, no matter how things turn out, it is absolutely imperative that we stand up for the truth and we stand up for righteousness, because we have a home that is out of this world. And death is only a shortcut to glory. They can do what they want to this body, but they cannot touch our soul. Only you can seal your final destination through the blood of Jesus Christ. They can shake you till your teeth fall out. But we got to be determined that when the devil comes, we've got to be determined that we're going to gum him to death if we have to. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And I'm not going to preach a message like this every Sunday or have the comical stuff, okay? But I want you to understand. I wanted to get your attention. I wanted to keep you awake today. But these things actually have happened. And we are getting closer every day. Anything that stands for the cross of Jesus Christ is hated more than ever before. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, to Barak, and to Samson, and to Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, somebody say through faith. Subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promise, stop the mouths of lions and bears, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax violent in flight, turn to fight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I'm telling you, they can kill this body, but they can't kill the soul that belongs to Jesus. And others have been trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I don't know what tomorrow may hold. We may be finding ourselves just looking for a place to call home, of whom this world was not worthy. I read that again. To the world, they were not worthy. Those people that held fast the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was willing to die for their faith, that was willing to be tortured for their faith, that was willing to live in the rocks and the mountains. The Bible says that the world was not worthy of their presence or their life. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better for them, that without us, somebody say us, without us, they should not be made perfect. There's a better day coming. So I ask you today, are you ready to run for your life? Are you ready to run to the altar? Just to let you know today, if you're not a runner, you better get ready to be one. If you're not a runner, you better get ready now. Listen, church, listen. When evil becomes darker, the light must shine brighter. And that deserved several amens. It said, when the darkness and evil, when evil becomes darker, the light must shine brighter. Amen. We are living in an hour and a time today that in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Where are we at? Anybody give me a witness today? Who puts darkness for light and light for darkness? And who puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. I'm here to tell you today, church, is everything that's within me, the church of the living God, it's time we run to the altar. I said it's time that we run to the altar, and it's time that we stay there. Elijah was a man with a passion and the purpose that you and I understand and realize today. In fact, he experienced things much more so than we do. And now Ahab told Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 19, after Elijah had taken care. If you don't care, Sister Lisa, put that back up there for just a second. When Elijah had taken care of the prophets of Baal, the victory of God. Listen, he was exactly where he needed to be. He was at the altar where God was in communication and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. He was exactly where he needed to be and should not have left there. Jezebel told Ahab and said, I'm telling you right now, if things don't transpire, do different. He said, as Elijah's killed the prophets, that I'm going to deal with him the same way, just as sure as the world turns. May the gods deal with me, be it even so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make his life as one of them. And the Bible said in verse 3, and Elijah was afraid. And he ran for his life. Wait a minute. Where was he running from? The altar. Don't run for your life. Run to the altar. I said, don't run for your life. Run to the altar. You see, the spirit of fear that's in our world today has created such an absolute catastrophe in people's lives. It's keeping them from the house of God. And that's where they need to be more than, especially right now. There has been a spirit of fear created in our society, in our world today. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. A spirit of fear entered into him, and he ran for his life. When he had come to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. And he came to a broom tree and sat down under it. And then he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. I can't take it no more. Just take my life. I ain't no better than my ancestors. And then he laid down under the tree and he fell asleep. Listen, it's not time to sleep. It's time to run to the altar, church. There's a cry today that's almost being silenced from a world that is screaming otherwise. But today this pastor is determined to cry out to you to run to the altar. I don't know what all is going to transpire in the next coming days. But I can tell you that God's Word says when you see these things come to pass, then lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He has called to you and I to be watchmen of God on the wall. And I can tell you it's time to run to the altar. Can I tell you today, church, that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not succumb to their adversaries' threats or demands. They did not bow. They did not bend, and they did not burn. And they did not become dinner for the hungry lions, because they desired to do the will of God. And regardless of the circumstances that come at them, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's time to run to the altar. You can go to the next slide, Sister Lisa, if you would. Thank you so much for helping me with this. Listen, it's not time to run for your life. It's time to run to the altar. Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord said, behold, or because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is so grievous, I will go down now and see that whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, and when I have come up, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Don't matter what the rest of the world does. It don't matter what the rest of the church world does. We're not going to bend, bow, or burn. And Abraham stood by God, and he drew nigh, and he said, Lord, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, you know the story, is he asked God for 50. I'm telling you, he was at the altar. He wasn't running for his life. Abraham was at the altar. And you know the story where it got down to just a handful. And God said, if you can find just a handful, I'll spare the city. And you all know the story very well, that he couldn't even find a handful. In this hour and day that we're living in, church, are you going to be the handful that's going to stand for God? Are you going to stand at the altar? Are you going to have to run for your life? One more illustration, and we're going to move on. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 6, on Herod's birthday, and I'm just telling you, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood at the altar. Abraham stood at the altar. Matthew 14 and 6, on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for him and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Will you give me about a minute here? Herodias was so full of hate and despised John the Baptist and his witness and his teaching so much, she was willing to allow her daughter seduce the king.
Yes.
Hear me. She was willing to put her daughter out to seduce the king, to make him happy, so she could get what she wanted. We're living in a world today that's crucifying their own kids just to get their own way. Don't tell me we're not living in the last days. They are sacrificing their own just to make sure they get what they want. And you know what I'm talking about. Herodias was the exact same way. She was willing to sacrifice even her daughter to get what she wanted. But I want you to know that in prison, John the Baptist didn't bow, didn't change his mind. He was willing to give his head. And the Bible says that his head was put on a silver charger and taken to Herodias. His body was received by the disciples. But can I tell you today, his soul is resting in Jesus Christ. This life is temporary, but the soul of man is eternal. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So for one second, going back to Elijah. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. Can I remind you that a few hours before he was at the altar where the power of God fell and the fire, where it came in an instant against his adversity, he left the altar and run for his life. Teenager, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, grandpa, the only person. I used to get all shook up when I mispronounced the word, but not no more. And here we are, grandpa or grandpa, or peepaw or papu. The only place where God's power has manifested is where the fire is. It's where his grace is. It's where his mercy is. It's where his protection is. Because his presence is there. Elijah ran when he should have tarried. Church, it's not time to play games. Running for your from your adversary is no good. It's time to run to the altar, where all your answers are awaiting you. Can I say that one more time? Sister Lisa gets ready to play this song. I found a very special song. I want you to listen to this song intently. And through this song, I want you to know that the altars are open. I want to give you a time through this, as this song is being played. And as you listen to the words and allow the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to touch your heart and life, I don't care how many times you've been here or what it is. This is a time to get serious before God. Listen, God's on our side. Let God be truth and every man a liar. If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the time to run to the altar. Because it's at the altar where every answer or every question you have, the answer is awaiting you.